an interesting verse, isn't it? The hypocrite has joy but for a moment. What makes the difference? The hypocrite's looking at all the circumstances around him and, you know, what, you know, religion. The Christian's got their joy fixed on God and Christ and their salvation. And so hypocrisy doesn't lead to joy. It leads to sort of a up and down yo-yo type Christianity. In Job chapter 4, verse 22, it says, the Lord can turn sorrow into joy. And sometimes sorrows come our way, as several songs we sing, like sea billows roll. Sometimes the sorrows roll in. But Jesus can turn the joy, those sorrows, into joy. If we will let him, if we'll focus on him, that joy can come our way. So tonight, I would like to just look at a few things about joy. Turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, please. Look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Our first Roman numeral 1, if you're going to keep track of the major points, Roman numeral 1 with some thoughts to it. Where is joy found? Well, look at this verse. It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Where do we find joy? Run into God's presence. You know, when we're filled with all the cares of living, just go spend time with the Lord. You know, I was just this week, I've been reading over and over again through the Psalms, and I went into one of the Psalms in there and just reminded us, sing unto his presence, sing joy unto the Lord, for he is the source of all joy. Joy, he is the joy forevermore, and joy in his name, sing unto him. And the more I read through that two or three times, the Lord just lifted my heart up. And just coming into his presence. And when you come into the Word of God, another reason to have daily devotions, isn't it? Just restores, it rejuvenates our joy. You don't need to look at these next verses, but if you want to write them down, you take notes. In Luke 15:10, we find that the angels rejoice and joy when somebody gets saved. There is great joy in soul winning. I've said over the years, I've never seen the church go home sad when somebody got saved. Somebody comes and gets saved, we say, glorious saved, miraculously saved. It always is. And boy, when you see them rejoicing in the newness and in the specialness of their joy, it's contagious all around them. There's such joy in soul winning. The angels rejoice. Psalm 126, verse 5, repeats that idea. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Lord, we're praying for my brother to be saved. Boy, he gets saved. Wow. There's joy when people get saved. Philippians 1:4, Paul, speaking to the Philippians, says, ye are my joy. They're the ones that he laid down so much of his life for, to see in Christ, and they got saved. And he said, when I look at you, you are my joy. It's the joy of soul winning. You know, churches today, we talk about, why are churches sort of dull and dead? Maybe it's because people aren't getting saved. You want to stir a church up? Go get your friends, bring them in, let Christ touch them and get saved. It'll bring joy, and we could say revival, to the hardest, darkest of Christian hearts that we could go to. Turn to Proverbs 21, please. Proverbs 21. Look at verse 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment. Let me just take that phrase. It is joy to the just to do judgment. Can I rephrase that so that we can understand maybe the truth here? It's joy to do right, to do judgment. This isn't like to do judgment, that kind of judgment. It's joy for the Christian to judge righteously and do right. There's joy in doing right. And you know, Christians, I can't think of when I'm doing right that I'm ever sorry. I sure am sorry when I don't do right. Convicted, slinking along waiting for God to deal with me, you know what I mean? But there's joy in doing right. The smile of God, like the sunshine rain. I was talking to somebody this week. I had a man walk into the building yesterday. It was sort of interesting. I'll probably tell you more about him. I hope he comes and visits. But a man walked in and he said, "Could I look around the building?" I said, I guess so. He said, "I helped build it." I said, "Oh, I'd like to talk to you." He was in the church that was here before us, and then he got saved over in that building over there. And they had a Bible study, then they got this property, and they built this property. And he's the one who helped put the lights down the hallway. He said, "You've replaced him." I said, "Yeah, we have Mr. Byerly. He put him up straight. I didn't." So good thing you put him up straight, Jim. So somebody's watching your work, okay? And he went around, you know, just talking about all these different things. But say all that to say this. I brought him in here. When we first came to this auditorium, there were no blinds in the window. There was no stained glass window up here. In the first month that we had church, Sunday morning, people were out here with dogs walking and playing frisbee. You try to get people to pay attention. People out there playing frisbee and having a good time. We sent the ushers off to sort of skew them off, but they just kept coming back. They thought they owned the property. That's, you know, sort of the way they were. And then on Sunday night, you know, this light comes right through. And our first attempt was to put the stained glass window. And now we've got another fake stained glass window we stick in front of it that blocks it. But there's a story behind that stained glass window. Where do you go to get a stained glass window? I don't know either. I went to the internet. So I got the internet, telephone, you know, stuff. Found out there's a guy on the other side of Fry Road that has a small little business. And I sort of got thinking, what did I want? I wanted a cross. I wanted that to be our, you know, our main theme. And wanted to pick up the blue from the carpet, you know, and the different things that we had in here. And I showed him a couple designs that are out there. So he took it, and he worked with it for several weeks, and he just wasn't at peace with it. At 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke up, and he said, "You know what's missing?" He said, "I need to put some yellow rays of joy." Isn't that neat? He said, "The cross is joyful." And he got so excited. About every year or two, he pops in. He says, "I want to show you something that I made. It's one of those things that God gave me." Isn't that neat to have that up there like that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And it brings, just, can you see this, the rays coming out of a Christian's heart, our joy radiating out? Unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. We're not much joy to people around us. We're grumpy. We're frumpy. There's sort of frowns on our faces. And I know we don't want to just be fake about it, but Lord, help me to let the joy of the Lord be manifest in me so that it overflows out of my countenance. And so joy is found in doing right. I'll just give you some others here because I'll be here forever. Isaiah 12:3, it's found in the well of salvation. The joy is brought out of the well of salvation. Do you know, years ago when I was working with teenagers, I was trying to develop a program to teach them devotions, and a man said, "One of the things you want to teach a Christian to do is every day remember the day he got saved. And drink of that well afresh." Boy, what a joy that is to remember. Hey, we forget what God did for us. He digged us out of the pit where we were headed to hell. What a joy to know I've been rescued. Amen? We could just preach on that. So it's out of the well of salvation we get our joy. And then in Isaiah 29, it says this, 29:19, it says, "In meekness is found joy." I have never really felt very joyful when I was filled with pride. But when I walk in meekness, joy radiates out. You think about, let that work in your heart a little while. A meek Christian can experience and walk in joy. A proud one, oh, they bang along, don't they? We bang along when we're filled with our pride. Jeremiah 15:16 says, in his word is found joy. In his word. And that is in lots of places in the Bible. The joy is found in his presence, in his word, as it's manifested. Listen, back again to having daily devotions. There is joy in studying and understanding the will of God. Matthew 25:21, the Lord says this, after you've done right, enter now into the joy of the Lord. Hey, when we do right, when we've done right, when we've served the Lord, there's joy. There's joy. You come home from a good church service. You've taught a Sunday school class. You've sung in the choir. You've been out in visitation. You just fill in the blanks. You've served the Lord. Maybe you've taken food over to somebody that was sick. There's lots of ways to serve the Lord. There's great joy in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 4:16 says this, when we pray, ask that your joy may be full. So when we talk to the Lord and we have fellowship with him in prayer, there's joy. Let me give you a little parallel. My wife and I got a few hours together on Monday to spend together. And I just have to say, one of the sweetest, happiest times, I just get to spend time with my wife. It's just joyful, come back fulfilled. How much more that should be with the Lord in his presence. When we pray, when we're in his word, when we drink of the joy of his salvation, we serve him. Do you see how many of these things where our joy is found? It's joy when we're with the Lord and doing what we should, when we're doing right. The opposite is just as true when we aren't in his presence, when we don't pray, when we're filled with ourselves, the joy disappears. So, is your joy full tonight? And very often, Christians, we walk around and we would be honest with ourselves. We say, I just feel sort of miserable. Grumpy, mean on the inside out all the time. Well, maybe it has to do with this manifest presence of God's goodness and walking in him and your life directed around him. For in him is found the fullness of joy. And God wants Christians to be filled with that joy. And it's found in that way. And just to cap this point off, Galatians 5:22, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is in charge of my life, one of the evidences, gentleness, meekness, all joy. There will be joy if I'm walking in the Spirit. If I'm not walking the Spirit, just the opposite's true. Well, turn to Psalm 51. We're going to look at our second major Roman numeral, Psalm 51. Most of you know your Bibles pretty well. What's the subject of Psalm 51? You can peek if you need to. David is repenting over his rotten sin where he's killed a man, he's had adultery, he's done all these things, he's tried to cover it up. In Psalm 51, he repents and he reveals, we already know this, you've studied this before, heard messages, he reveals that he has not been very happy for a long time. He's not been very joyful because his life has been sinful. So let's read a few verses. Psalm 51, verse 10, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me what? The joy. Yeah. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy spirit. Then will I, and he goes on, I'll praise your name. Lord, give me the joy back. Could it be tonight that you've lost your joy? David, who was a man after God's own heart, lost his joy for a big period of time. And he couldn't face it. Until Nathan the prophet said, straighten up. praise God, when he was confronted, he straightened it up in Psalm 51. And did God give him back the joy? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So joy can be lost. Philippians chapter 2, you don't need to turn there. It's sort of a well-known passage where the Lord says, let your minds be together. Be of one mind together. There's euodias and syntyche. They're at discord one with another. And there's no joy. There's another way that joy can be lost when you're at discord with another believer. And this group is mature enough to know that Christians get sideways with each other. Just say amen. We should say, oh me, right? Okay. Listen, what do you do when you lose the joy of your salvation because you got sin? You deal with it, get it right with God. What do you do when you lost your joy because you're at discord with a brother? You straighten it out so it can be restored. You do everything on your side to restore it. Boy, when you're locked down and you're sort of ugly with each other, there's no joy. Not that anybody here would understand this, but a husband and wife sort of have a little tiff with each other. I know you wouldn't understand it, so I have to explain it thoroughly to you. You've had a little misunderstanding, and neither one is ready to say, I'm sorry. You're both still proving your point.
Hey.
It's just really hard, and there's no joy in that. But when somehow it breaks through and there's a recovery, oh, that's joy. Listen, tonight maybe you're at loggerheads with God or with another individual. That's the joy. It can be restored. It doesn't have to stay that way. And these are common things in Christians' life. We have big characters in the Bible that get into these situations with each other. And so where joy can be lost. Turn to John chapter 15, please. We go Roman numeral number 3 tonight. John chapter 15. By the way, I'm preaching this to me as much as I am to you. I need this message over and over again in my life. Lord, help me to stay walking in the sunshine of your joy. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what? Okay, so what is this about? Joy is fostered by godly friends, godly leaders, and the Word of God. Joy is fostered by godly friends, godly leaders, and God's Word. These things have I written unto you, that my joy and your joy can be magnified, than be full. There's joy in being under the preaching of the Word of God. There's joy in being in the council of godly people. There's joy in studying the Word of God. These are like fertilizers to our joy. Being around godly people, godly leadership, godly church. I look at a healthy church, and I'd like to think ours is healthy. You walk out after church, and here are people just jabbering away. I like to walk out after it's about 45 minutes to an hour after the church service. And I walk out and I say, you know, if I'd have realized how long you guys were going to stay, I could have kept going. They all go, ha, 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 that's funny. They just don't know I meant it. Okay? Okay. But to me, it's always a real joy to see the joy in the parking lot. There's joy in godly friends. There's joy in godly leadership. A pastor preaching a message stirs up our joy. And there's joy in the Word of God. These are fosterers. They're fertilizers. They stir it up. They get it renewed. Sometimes it goes stale. I grew up on a farm. You go down to our barn, and there was a big bulk tank. But they would ship milk every 2 days, and that meant they would ship almost 2 tons of milk. This great big bulk tank full of milk. But we would just go down and open the lid and take a big old pitcher and dip down in there and dip out, take it in the house, and we have fresh milk. But if you take milk and put it up in your refrigerator tomorrow morning, if you just go dump a glassful, you're going to get a surprise. You just got pure cream. Cream may be good, but it isn't what I like to drink, okay? So what you learn to do when it's fresh milk, you just take a big old spoon, wooden spoon we had, just stir it up and just sort of shake it up, and you pour it out, and it's just fresh and full. All the fat is evenly distributed. And by the way, real milk has 3.5% to 4.5%. And when they sell you 0.5% milk, do you realize they've taken 3.5% and turned it into cheese and sold you the water? No, you talk about charlatans, and they tell you that's healthy for you. Well, it's healthy for their wallet. Well, that's another message another day. Okay, all right. Sometimes we need to stir up our joy because it gets lumps in it. Okay? We just got to stir up our joy just so we can enjoy it like we should. So God wants us to have that joy. 2 Corinthians chapter, you don't need to turn there, chapter 1, verse 24, Paul said this, "I write these things unto you because I am the helper of your joy." I thought that was an interesting word. 1 Corinthians 1:24, "I am the helper of your joy." So, in this case, we see Paul's a helper. We would think the preacher should be a helper, right? Let me ask you a question. Are you a helper to other people's joy or his? In your presence, now we know God's presence is joy, but in your presence, is joy manifested or is it like popping little bubbles, taking the joy out of it? So Paul could say, "I'm a helper of your joy." When you come into church, do people see you as a joy lifter-upper? Or do they see you as like, pow, bam, you know, here comes somebody's a joy killer? Paul said, "I'm a helper of your joy." And that's interesting. Roman numeral number 4 tonight. Joy can exist and thrive through the darkest trials. Joy can exist and thrive through the darkest trials. You ever been through a trial? You ever been through an especially deep trial? Your joy doesn't have to go away. It doesn't have to leave. I've got cancer. You can have joy. Lost your job. You can have joy. Lost a loved one. You can have joy. Okay? So let me just give you 5 verses. You can write if you want down. Hebrews 12:2. Jesus endured the sufferings for the cross and for the joy that was set before him. Even though he knew he was going to die on the cross, he saw the purpose of God in his life. And for that joy, what does God have in my life that he's allowed me to walk down this road and he has counted me faithful enough to serve him through this dark trial in my life? See, you need to see our life through the lens of God's perfect will. James 1:2, "Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Why? Because those things are going to foster a deeper relationship with Christ. 1 Peter 1:8, "It drives us into Christ because Christ himself is our joy." Our trials drive us into Christ, because sometimes, did we not sing it tonight? "Prone to wander, Lord, I fear." And God needs to bring us back to the joy. He brings us back to himself. 1 Peter 4:13, "As we walk in trials with Christ, we can walk in glory and joy." As we walk through the trials, think of the glory that's going to be had as we walk faithfully with Christ. And one day we will rule and reign with him. And last verse I would show out to us tonight, Acts 20:24, Paul says that he wanted to finish his course with joy. I can quote that verse, but I can't get it started tonight. Hang on. because I want to emphasize. This is sort of Paul's testimony, Acts 20:24. But let none of these things move thee, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Of the gospel.
Yes.
Paul found it real joy just to be a gospeler, to be a preacher. And yet, how many times was Paul in prison? Left for dead? Beaten? And yet he says, I want to finish my course with joy. Jude 24 ends, that's one chapter, last verse. Now unto Christ, who is able to present us faultless before the glory of his presence with exceeding joy. There's a song that we haven't had probably for a while as a special music. I've discovered the way of gladness. Mankind is searching everywhere, every day, in quest of something new. But I have found the living way, the path of pleasures true. I found the pearl of greatest price, eternal life so fair, 'twas through the Savior's sacrifices. I found this jewel rare. I've discovered the way of gladness. I've discovered the way of joy. I've discovered relief from sadness. 'Tis a happiness without alloy. I discovered the fount of blessings. I've discovered the living word. 'Twas the greatest of all discoveries when I found Jesus, my Lord. That's our joy. That's the joy of our Lord. As I said, I was reading in Psalms this week, and one of the things that he said over and over again, I will praise thee that my joy might be full. And so tonight, that's one of the reasons why I had to give testimonies. Did you notice that as we began to think on the goodnesses of God, did you not feel your heart be encouraged? Count your blessings. See what God has done. Let your joy be full. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, to have the joy of your salvation, to have the joy of walking in your relationship, to have a humility, to have the joy of being in your word, to have the joy of having sin forgiven. Lord, please help us to have a cup full of joy. Lord, help us not to lose it because of circumstances or because Satan has sort of hoodwinked us, got us thinking poorly. Help us to keep our eyes on you, for in thy presence is fullness of joy. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed, I wonder tonight.